Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show, so stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.
Yeah, we're holding people accountable, but at the end of the day, your rock stars, they want to be held accountable. They want to go break records. They want to set new marks. They want to do all of these things. But I think, and I'm very much like you, right? Kind of people person, like want to make sure everybody's happy, doing all their things. But at the end of the day, that doesn't always serve the people that you're leading. They need to be held accountable because everybody's held accountable. You said it yourself. You held yourself accountable when, you know, something went the wrong direction and hey, I got to step in and fix this.
This is To The Point, a Rhino Experience, voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts, cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
What's up, To The Point listeners? It's your boy, Chris, host of To The Point Home Services Podcast. And it looks like he got a new haircut, and that will be my co-host. Beard's trimmed, hair's cut, no grays just yet, but you know they're coming. Mr. Chad Peterman. Chad, what's up, buddy? I'm glad you're not in the airport today.
I'm not in the airport. It's a sunny day outside, so I am doing just great.
Yeah, I can see the sun shining off your face. You must be using that new moisturizer cream. Is that what you're using?
I hope so. Getting older, so you got to start treating your skin right. Be all wrinkly.
Yeah. I know you're taking a shot at me. That's not very nice. They're called crow's feet. You're gonna get them too. Okay. When you live in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're outside, the sun's shining. Even if you have sunglasses on, you still squint a little bit. And then when you get older, what happens when you squint? They don't like you don't get the suntan in the squint. So then it just leaves. Yeah. See, Goder's got them too. Actually, you're making me look better. So, Mike, I appreciate you being on here today. So. Well, I'm excited. We have our guests on here too, who I've become good friends with. Been doing business with them, or with our guests, since 21, maybe middle of the year 2021, late year 2021, from with Rhino. And that is Mr. Mike Goder, the COO of Environmental Health and Air Solutions in Sacramento, also known as Sactown, also known as NorCal, or this is what I believe it was most known for, was what Steve Miller has to say. Northern California, where the girls are warm. Is that true, Goder? Is that where the girls are warm? I would have thought Southern California, but they say NorCal.
I'm going to go with SoCal.
Yeah, that made more sense. What the hell was Steve Miller talking about? He don't know shit.
I don't know. I think, yeah, there's something on board, I think.
And by the way, that song was way before Chad's time, so Chad don't even know what the hell we're talking about right now.
I think I've heard it before.
It was pretty popular. So these guys are up in Northern California. Interesting fact is, you know, we were trying to get, you know, owner Matt Evans on here too, but he couldn't do it. So shout out to Matt. I know you're listening, and I'm going to get you on this thing one of these times. Now his face is already red and we can't even see him. He's just embarrassing listening to it, but they built a really great business together, and I'm excited that, you know, to tell their story. Matt was actually at our very first Rhino X that we had, which was at the old office, and we didn't have an on-site location. He was at the very first one. We were all crammed in the office. Chad, you were at that one.
Yep,
and sure was. That's when we had Jens Pulver there, UFC lightweight champion, and then we did it. We had Gary Vaynerchuk the last half of that day. So you missed out on that one, Mike.
Yeah, you drove us all the way out into the middle of the desert. That was so much fun.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. And you were like, "Where the hell are we going? We're going out in these big motor coaches and buses." It's quite the experience. That's what the X is for. Now, listen, I know I was talking about Northern California, but you guys actually have two locations. You have the Benicia branch and you have the Roseville branch. Now, Roseville serves the Folsom market. And what really made that Folsom market famous to me was Folsom Prison, right? And Folsom Prison, to me, is, you know, always been cool. I love all that old stuff, too, like Alcatraz, things like that. But Folsom Prison is what made Folsom famous. And I think that another man actually made Folsom also popular.
I'm stuck in Folsom Prison. And time keeps dragging on.
Hey, Mike, you never been to Folsom Prison, have you? Like, in it.
Not in it. No, I've only been outside the gates, not inside the gates. Thank goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a good thing. Cause I heard that's a pretty rough crowd in that one.
I would think, I don't know all of them, I would think, but yeah, I've been blessed to stay outside. I'm in my tenure in California. So that's good.
Yeah. Chad, really? For sure. For sure. You know what? Never mind. I'm gonna leave that alone. He does not want to go to prison. Mm-hmm. Okay. No. Enough of the jokes, Chad. I'm sick of it. We're trying to get down to business. Okay. Jeez. Okay. Hey, Goater, let's jump into this. For those who are listening for the first time, I promise you it doesn't always start off this way, but sometimes it does. Just depends on what kind of mood I'm in. But this episode's great. Why? Because, you know, not only are we talking to a successful company, you know, Mike is COO of a successful business up there. He's done a ton of training over the years. So lots of talent, lots of skill in the industry. And so I'm excited just to have him on here just to share some of that knowledge and really brag on you a little bit. I've been trying to get you on for like 2 friggin' years, man. So we finally made it happen. But why don't you go ahead, if you would, and let's start with letting the listeners know, you know, what size of business is Environmental Heating and Air Solutions today? Like, what is it today? So that way they have some perspective. And then let's walk it back to, you know, a little bit of the history of the business and kind of when you came in and like where it was at, just so they have some perspective on the business and how it's scaled over the years.
Yeah, no worries. So it was founded in 2011, started zero, right? Matthew Evans founded it and got it up off the ground. I met Matt through training, right? My previous life, I was training and ended up going to a wedding with another business partner at the time and met Matt. We started talking. I was actually working in SoCal where the girls were warm.
Well played. Back then
at the time. And then I decided, you know, I'm done with the, you know, the contracting side. I'm going to go back to the training side. I want to get back on the airplanes. And I mean, I travel 45 weeks a year and actually enjoyed it quite a bit. And so when Matt heard that, he actually lived in Scottsdale at the time. So Matt flew out. This is in 17, end of 17. He flew out. He was doing about 3.6, I think, in 17. So, you know, decent sized company, small company. And then he said, you know, hey, let's go to dinner. We met at a Buck and Ryder, I think it was out there, and had a dinner. My wife came and he presented us an opportunity to move to Northern California, which I said I would never do. Matter of fact, when I got the movers to come pack up the house in Scottsdale, they're like, dude, you're going the wrong direction, bro. Like, you're not supposed to be going to California.
Did Zanetta want to go there?
she, no.
So that's a no. You didn't even try to fluff it. You thought about it. You're like, nah, she didn't.
No. I mean, as a matter of fact, it's everything we do. I mean, we're looking at Scottsdale real estate, just probably more so than California real estate, just so she can get back there. But anyhow, then I said, you know, hey, let's give it a shot. You know, as long as ops wise, I just want to have control on the ops side, which Matt was totally fine with. He was like, you know, look, I don't want, you know, Matt's role is more the finance side, more the vision side, the relationship side. And mine is, you know, I just got to be able to do what I got to do, to move the needle because I wanted to grow. So when I walked in 18, we were, you know, right around 6 million. And then we finished up last year, just over 20 million. So, you know, we grew pretty quick, in the last 5 years.
And you guys are straight out on replacement, service out on replacement, right?
Yeah. 100% residential add on replacement, no new construction. No plumbing division, no electrical, just heating and air.
But you're doing water heater business.
Yeah, I mean, because it needs to be done while right. We're doing the heating and air. But I mean, we're not out, you know, pimping water heaters too hard.
Oh, okay, you're not pimping water heaters.
We're not out there, you know. We're not trying to do them. You know what I mean? Like if they're there, we'll take them. But it actually, you know, it's we're wired a little different, Chris. I mean, like, and this is what I love about it is it's average ticket, right? I mean, we are a very high-end dealership. We are not, you know, slinging boxes. It's in our name, right? Environmental Heating Air Solutions. Like we're looking at how do we transform this house? And it doesn't come with a single stage furnace and a single stage air conditioner. And without looking at the ductwork and without looking at air purification. I mean, it's not, you know, our average ticket in 23, I have the numbers down. Our average ticket in 23 was $24,748, and that's including water heaters and ductwork, right? I mean, that's our whole HVAC replacement division. So very high average ticket. 24, we're right we're just under 24,000 right now. So we're 23,800, but that'll come up because summer hasn't hit us yet. So that's what we do is more the, so water heaters aren't it. It's the whole package.
Is that going to be a thing at any point in time? Like, are you going to chase that down at some point, or what's the deal with plumbing?
I don't know plumbing, Chris. I mean, that's my biggest problem. Like, you know, with me is, you know, I was born and raised in the trenches. So, I mean, back in Rochester, New York, born and raised, got in the business there because my dad was in the business, worked for a huge company out there, learned a lot and went through install service and then got into sales. And I've done heating and air. I've done a little hydronics, you know, radiant floor, boiler replacements, but I don't know drains. I don't know sewers. I don't know panel box upgrades. And so there's where my challenge, I mean, my limitation is like, let's focus on what I'm really good at or what I consider myself to be an expert in, and you know, and just focus on that for now. There's so much opportunity. Why muddy the waters? So
yeah,
I think that makes a lot of sense. One question I have, this is kind of a unique similarity. So my COO also came from training. He actually came from the education world, did Teach for America out in New York, and is now leading our operations. I guess my question would be, what did you take from your days of training that transferred really well over to operations? And maybe what's one thing that you thought would transfer really well that maybe didn't transfer and that you had to kind of do some tweaking there?
Great question, Chad. I mean, the energy transfers, right? I mean, I'm like the Energizer Bunny on steroids, man. You wind me up, point me in the right direction, I'm going to go. And so the energy, you know, if I go into a department meeting or if I'm doing a 4-hour training, that transferred really well. You know, the part that didn't transfer the best is the same reason why I originally got frustrated with training, right? I mean, I would do 3 days, 8 hours a day, or 5 days, 8 hours a day of training, telling people exactly what to do to improve their quality of life, whether, you know, whatever that may be. And then they would be back 6 months later in the same damn room with the same struggles and same frustrations, then I gave them the answers 6 months earlier. And it's like, you know, this is retarded. Like, this is, I don't know if I can say that in California. In Arizona, I can say that. So I can't say that here, but my door's closed. But I mean, this is just stupidity, right? I mean, why do I do this? Like, this is, and that's what got me frustrated, is you give the answers, you lay it out for people, you show them like, hey, if you do X, then you're going to get Y. And then they still, there's creatures of habit, and they just keep doing the same crap over and over and over again, expecting different results, I guess. So that's the part that doesn't transfer. And I have these training classes. I'll go, you know, our last group of salespeople that came in, our big group, we trained for 30 days before they ran their first call. So it was 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, just training. And it was awesome, right? And they came out, and three of them hit $1 million in sales in their first 5 months of selling. Like, holy cow, they're getting it. And, you know, those that made it, they're doing really, really well. Their first full year this year, I mean, they're all going to break 3 million their first full year of selling. So that's good. But it's just, I can hope that answers your question.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. I think I've seen similar things of where the energy is one of those things where I think it's imperative that the person leading your operations, you know, he always talks about it. He wants to see things buzzing around the office. And I'm like, I get it. And you see him just always running around the office, heading to one thing, to the next, you know, fixing things, which is, I guess, what you want to see for sure.
Yeah. And it's good, bad, right? I mean, my other office in Roseville, our other office, you know, every birthday, every event, you know, they always put, I've got unicorns and rainbows all through that office. So I'm glad I'm not sitting there today, because Chris would never let it down.
That's what Chad's office wallpaper looks like.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, it's just because I'm always looking for the positive and the energy. And I think that's why Matt and I make such a great dynamic is, you know, he's not that person. And so that energy leads to culture, right? And that leads to that buzz that you talk about. And, you know, we all show up every day and grind 8, 10, 12 hour days. And some days none of us want to. And I think that energy is what gets us through, or gets maybe a CSR through, or an installer through, or a salesperson through, or another manager through. Like, just that positivity and that upbeat energy goes a long way.
Yeah, and this is the kind of stuff too that, you know, the like that type of synergy between like you and Matt and your two different strengths, you know, core competencies, and then this energy and your training background, all the stuff led you guys to what now back to back Dave Lennox Award winners. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
But you know, you and I were talking about 2023. And you know, in the last few podcasts, Chad and I have talked, you know, to some of the guests about 2023, you know, because we talk about those, you know, the COVID years, the 2021, 2022 being these unicorn years, right? And some people are learning valuable lessons from not paying attention to some of the blocking and tackling or some of the things in those years, because everybody was fat and happy. But 2023, you know, when I was asking you, I say, you know, I text you, I said, hey, man, like, what were some of the biggest challenges that you guys ran into, you know, in 2023, and what were some, you know, what were some of the wins? Yeah. You know, and did something that you learned last year make you have to pivot and do something different? Like, did you get caught with your pants down on something that you didn't know about? Like, what was, you mentioned that your average ticket dropped just a little bit. So nothing significant from last year to the first half of this year, but it's not even really fair judgment because we had shit for weather up there right now. So we've not gotten much help. But yeah. What did you, you know, maybe just share one of the bigger challenges that you faced last year. And then if it made you have to, you know, was there a pivot you had to do because of it? And if you did have to pivot, what was it?
Yeah. So, I mean, you bring up some great stuff. And I think my response was something to the effect of, you know, our biggest win was really growth, internal growth. And it was forced upon us because of our biggest challenge. So, you know, so it's kind of one and the same, but you know, like you said, the 2020, 2021, 2022, I mean, everything was just happening, right? Everything was just go and move. And so, you know, doing budgets, doing everything. And again, being an ex installer, I don't know what the hell I don't know. But you know, I am very optimistic. So when I'm doing budgets for 2023, I'm like, oh yeah, what's 45-50% growth, right? I mean, it's nothing. I mean, we can do that with our eyes closed. And so, you know, training and manning up for it and buying vehicles and doing all of this stuff to really hit the ground running and say, okay, we're going to smash it in 2023. And not really knowing the impacts of those decisions because, you know, neither one of us were really well-versed or well-trained in, you know, financial literacy, quite frankly, you know, P&L statements, yeah, and financial statements and not realizing when we pull this lever exactly what the impacts are going to be. So you get three quarters of the year in and you're like, oh man, top line revenue is growing. Like we're going to break 20 million. This is amazing. But at what cost, right? And so that was our biggest challenge in 2023 was the growth was, I mean, and they always say it, right? I mean, you have a lot of guests on and they say it all the time, you know, top line's vanity and bottom line is sanity, right? Yeah. And so it feels good like, oh, we're 20 million, but really who gives a shit, right? I mean, if you're not making any money, I mean, what's the point? And you're not sleeping at night and you're stressed out and you're worried about, you know, everything. And so, you know, 2023 really helped us learn, you know, about the levers that need to be pulled. And we asked, it was the first time where you really humble yourself and you're like, oh, I don't know what the hell's going on, Chris. Like, I need some help, dude. Like, here, look at my financial statements. Like, help me understand. And why is this showing this? I'm tracking everything. I have everything as percentages and I know all this stuff, but what is actually going on? And that was the big thing. We went and visited a couple contractors last year for the first time together, and learned from them and just asked questions and met with some smart financial people. But you know, what we really found out is you know, labor, right? I mean, labor is a big, big, big thing. And we were throwing bodies at stuff, right? Because I'm moving so fast, kind of like Chad was saying. I mean, I'm buzzing around going everywhere, but that's not always a good thing either, right? Because you're busy, but are you really dialed in? Do you really have your fingers on all the pulses and all the levers that really matter? Because if you don't, they start to get out of hand and they get out of hand quick. And now you got to fix it. And one thing that I noticed that I did, you know, that was a big error. So hopefully people out there listening, don't do this. Don't throw bodies at problems. I mean, do not throw labor at problems. Don't think that your problem's going to go away because you threw a body at it. It's not the case. And then that was the biggest learning lesson of 2023, and helped us, you know, going into 2024 with a completely different outlook. I mean, we still want the growth, but you know, we want defined, you know, everything's defined now, like at that point, like what can, you know, what is an expectation of for labor in each role, and what is, you know, what can be done, right? I mean, what efficiencies should we look for and should we shoot for, and keeping things within those guardrails will yield the result that we all want at the end of the day.
In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads, capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
Hey, Chad Peterman here. I've been all in on BlueOn for quite a while now, and it's not just me. Contractors all over are seeing similar results. Tony at Just-In-Time Heating says their support calls dropped immediately once they rolled it out. His techs get reliable answers from BlueOn's AI faster than what they get from the OEMs. And their parts guy, he's loving it too. It's made his job way easier. They're saving time, solving problems quicker, and feeling more confident in the field. BlueOn's just become part of the process. And yeah, Peterman Brothers is definitely seeing that impact too. Click the link in the description and book a quick demo. You'll get it.
Did you reach out to someone to help you guys, like come in, like to coach you through it or walk you through it? Because I mean, the last thing you want to do too is guess again, like just guess at stuff. I mean, because you're talking top line went up. So did the bottom line stay flat or did the bottom line go down as you're throwing bodies at it?
Bottom line goes down, man. I mean, listen, growth is expensive all by itself, right? And this is the thing. Like we kind of talked about this yesterday too. Like, you know, social media. I mean, I learned one thing. One of my successes of 2023 is turn social media kind of off. Stop looking at all the biggest microphones or megaphones that are on these platforms and they're out there beating their chest and you know, oh, spend this and do this. And, you know, and listen, that's growth costs cash. And one of the things that we are is very financially disciplined. Like we don't carry debt. And that's important, right? And so, you know, we don't have lines of credit that we're just taking millions of dollars from somebody and spending it. And so that's us doubling down every year. Like, okay, do we believe in ourselves? Do we believe in our people? All right, let's double down. Let's reinvest. So that's the biggest thing. But yeah, reaching out to people. I mean, lots of phone calls with lots of people. I mean, you know, pretty much all of them. I mean, I'll give a shout out to Rusty Cochran over at WeCare, right? I mean, he's one of my boys and he'll tell you he doesn't know, right? He's like, oh, I don't know anything. I'm the dumbest guy in the room, but come on. I mean, dude's smart. And he helps me out. And Matt has his, you know, his connections that he talks to and his advisors, which is good. He's now surrounded by a group of good, solid people. And they help him. And that was really the biggest thing is making that phone call. Right. I mean, like, hey, dude, I don't know what the hell is going on. And I'm nervous. I'm scared. Like, can you help me?
Did you have to like get rid of anybody? Did they kind of work themselves out or did you figure out how to make them busy?
No, man, I figured out, well, this was the most painful thing for me because I'm a people person. But when Matt and I sat down, we had our understanding, like we learned what we need to learn. At that point, it was like, man, we are overstaffed and it's my fault 100%. I created it, but it's time. We can't wait, right? We can't like, oh, it's going to be okay. Like, no, we need to correct this situation. Here's, and just be honest with people, right? I mean, that's a cool thing about my team. I've got some people. I mean, 2023, another big win is it showed me exactly who on my team was in it to win it. Who's grinding? Who really wants it just as bad as I want it, just as bad as Matt wants it? And those people, I mean, you just honest with them, like, look, this is a situation. This is how we got in the situation. It's my fault. You know, I didn't know what I didn't know, but we need to fix this situation. So let's do an assessment. Let's sit down. We're going to do an assessment. I was doing assessments at night after dinner at home every single night. Like, and once I was comfortable, I was sharing that with the managers and sharing that with Matt. We were discussing as a group. It probably took us about 2 weeks. And then, yeah, things started to, you know, the hammer started to drop. Like, it was very clear, like, look, this is the expectation. This is what needs to happen. You know, either you can or you can't. I mean, it's okay either way. Like, I like you. We're friends, dude. And I want to keep it that way. But this is where we're at. What do you want to do? And it's kind of interesting how when you can sit with somebody, you can lay down the facts and they know it's all true. Like, you know, they accept it. They know. They're like, you know, look, I get it. And yeah, hey, I was able to accept a lot of people's resignations, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like, that stuff sucks. Still sucks. Still sucks. Like, shitty feeling, yeah. But at least, I feel like the way you approached it was admirable. I mean, with integrity, you know, and when you're being transparent like that too, and you say, yeah, man, I didn't know what I didn't know. I made a mistake. It's kind of hard to be pissed at somebody. Like, I mean, you know, you're probably frustrated, but it's kind of hard to be pissed when you're like, yeah, I messed up. And it's not like you're trying to fake it.
You know, let's face it, you know, I mean, I messed up and put us in that position, but there's a lot of people, man, that you realize when that are there just for a paycheck. Right. And so, you know, you say it sucks and it does. I mean, I'm with you, Chris, 100. We're wired a lot alike, but I would say in the last 12 months, my mindset has changed a little bit because I look at it a little differently now. Maybe this is just because of the pain that I went through is, you know, when people are there just for a paycheck and they're literally, they know what they're doing. That's theft, bro. I mean, they're stealing straight out of your pocket and they know they're doing it. So, you know, and meanwhile, I'm up at night stressing, right? Matt's up at night stressing. And that's where it's like, it doesn't look, it's all been clean now, but through that process, I didn't feel bad. Matter of fact, I felt not excited. I'm not saying, oh, I was stoked because I didn't sleep the night before, but it was the right decision. I knew it was the right decision. They knew exactly what they were doing. It was the right thing to do. And it should have happened way, way, way sooner, but I didn't have my finger on that pulse. And that was the problem. So, you know, getting that cleaned up. I mean, so my advice is just, you know, don't throw bodies at problems, you know, really identify what is needed, and then hold people accountable to those actions and making sure that people are actually doing the work and have the outputs and the accuracies and the efficiencies that you should have in those positions rather than just, oh, we need another body because, you know, we got overtime and we're working late. Well, that's because we're not getting anything done during regular time. That's the problem.
Yeah, I know we've went through similar transitions in the business as well. My question to you would be, did you notice, because I'm a big firm believer that rock stars don't like mediocre players on their team. Did you notice any cultural bump once you got rid of some of those players that in most instances, you're not the only one that they know. They know who those people are. And did you notice anything culturally once you started getting rid of those people and then you had a whole team of people that were charging ahead and really wanted it?
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, to the point where New Year's Day, I made some movements between Christmas and New Year's that kind of surprised some people. And I would say the first day back to work of 2024, I mean, I had phone calls. I had high fives when I walked in the office. I had energy. I had like that. I mean, it was like, I was shocked. I mean, just to chat. I was blown away. I mean, you've been through it, but I didn't expect that. It was like, holy cow. They're like, man, here we go. Like, don't worry. We got you. Like, let's do this. This was the right decision and we're going to charge the hill. Like, what do you need, boss? Like, let's make it happen. It was, the energy was just instantaneously back. It was like, holy crap, let's go. I mean, I was stoked. I think it was January 3rd, whatever the first Monday was or whatever that day was, like that was a very exciting day. And we've just ridden that since then. I mean, not that we haven't made mistakes, but man, the energy's there and we all know. And yesterday with the CSRs, we did a 3-hour training with the CSRs. I mean, and they said the same thing. We got it down to a core group of people. They know that they're the rock stars, and they just, and we're hiring and onboarding as we speak right now. There's two new people downstairs, and they even said to me, they're like, you know what? Number one thing, if they're not the right fit, if they don't have the same energy and the same passion, we'll let you know because we don't want them staying. I was like, perfect. Let me know. Right.
Yeah. That's really cool to see. And I think it really galvanizes the company, right? It's yeah, we're holding people accountable, but at the end of the day, your rock stars, they want to be held accountable. They want to go break records. They want to set new marks. They want to do all of these things. But I think, and I'm very much like you, right? Kind of people person, like want to make sure everybody's happy doing all their things. But at the end of the day, that doesn't always serve the people that you're leading. They need to be held accountable. Because everybody's held accountable. You said it yourself. You held yourself accountable when, you know, something went the wrong direction and, hey, I got to step in and fix this.
Right. I mean, it's accountability is not a bad thing, you know, and I always shied away from it because I always thought like it was a bad thing. Like, you know, I didn't want to have this company that was just, you know, I always wanted to have this company that, you know, you have fun. Right. And that's great. I mean, like Rhino, quite frankly, I see everything on Rhino. I'm like, man, that is the company. Like, you guys have the most amazing Christmas parties, right? You're doing all this cool stuff. You know, you're going to Cabo, you're going all over the place. Like, that's the goal, right? And so, you know, I want all those things too. But in order to have a lot of those things, there has to be that accountability. And I think that that's when people get that, and you got to have the right people on the bus, right? I mean, you know, it's not just doing the right things. And so, you know, that's the key. And once you got the right people, like right now, we have less staffing in every department than we did last year. And we will beat last year top line revenue. And if not beat it, we will at least meet it and just possibly exceed it, which I don't care if we do or we don't. I'm not looking for 25 or 50% growth this year. I'm looking for things to be dialed in. And we have less staff, and we will do easily the same amount of revenue. And we'll do it, you know, with better accuracy, less callbacks, less complaints, less, you know, everything will just, it is just smoother. And at that point, you know, now we have a foundation, because that next step, you know, getting to 20 million, I've never done it. Matt's never done it. Like, we've never done any of this crap. Like, we're figuring out, but man, what does 30 million look like? What does 50 million look like? What does 80 and $100 million look like? I don't know. I mean, I think I know, but if we don't figure out 20, we're never going to worry about it. We ain't ever getting there. So, you know, I feel good about knowing where we are now. And it gives me hope for, you know, not that I need to be a $50 million company, but I think natural progression in our market will take us there very quickly.
Yeah, Anna's done a phenomenal job over there at Rhino and what they've done with culture.
Sure,
yeah, and it, you know, just really Chris kind of weighing her down a lot too. So she's really come a long way. I think we can all
agree. I noticed
all
she's been on a lot of trips lately, kind of getting them out of the way.
Get them out of the way.
She sent them to the Brickyard or something. It was raining. Just have fun. Yeah. Just stay out there a couple extra days.
I'm going to let you have that one, Chad. I'm going to let you shoot that shot, buddy, because I can match you pretty hard.
I just got to keep Anna happy. That's my main thing, and she lets me keep coming back.
That's right. It's been really clear. Yep. Talking about accountability. He's accountable to her, not me. I want to address one quick thing, too, and that's, you know, we're talking about accountability, and, you know, and you mentioned, you know, our sales team goes on incentive trips, right? They have goals they have to hit. They also have a ton of accountability. Like, they have to earn that, right? And it's not just who can sell the most. It's also retention-based, right? Because we want to retain our customers. But they're held accountable to what they say. Like, they're a part of the, like, they're a part of the plan. Like, we don't just come up with some pie-in-the-sky number. And we get them to agree to it. And then that way, you know, we're working our plan, you know, our collective plan. And then if they hit those things, and yes, we go celebrate them just like any of us would do with our, you know, with our employees. And that's as important, right? Especially for people in a sales role, right? Because there's such that, you know, that's such a driver, and people love those type of accolades. I mean, I think most everybody, but sales, you know, in particular really, really likes those. You know, those are great motivators for them. But everybody's got a layer of accountability, myself included. I was just having a conversation with my VP of sales earlier, and I was like, hey, man, we're missing, you know, we missed a few numbers, like we missed a few months. And not that it's a big deal, but he's accountable for those things too. And it was like, why, what happened? Do we need, like, do, is there some adjustments that need to be made? And though I've known him for, you know, 20 years, he's got 30 years of leading sales teams successfully, big sales teams. Listen, like he asked for help, and I was able to catch at least a few things that he wasn't thinking about. And, you know, together we fix this stuff. So it's not like it was a bad thing that he missed it. It's just like, let's figure this shit out, you know, together. If we missed years, that's a problem. We're talking a couple months, not a big deal. And this is, you know, once the heat picked up, we'll be just fine. But, you know, us as leaders too, you know, when we don't have somebody else to hold us accountable, what's holding us accountable is all these people that we're serving underneath us, all the staff and the employees are, you know, we're accountable to them to be better. Like you just said, you and Matt running a $20 million business, that's the largest business you've ever run. Like at 20 million, it's the biggest business you've ever run. When it's at 21 million, it's the biggest business you've ever run. So you're in a position now where you got to hold yourself accountable as a leader. So like I look at, you know, this year, you know, I over the last couple of months, and I've had these conversations, you know, with Chad just about like, I feel like I need to be better, you know, and I have to get better. And, you know, because I also have my CMO role at Everservice as well. So like I have this responsibility to me and to everybody else to be better. So I'm having to go and find different platforms where I can learn, not just about, you know, being a better CMO, but like, you know, all the things, how can I be more creative? Is there something I'm missing that I'm not thinking of? You know, cause this company has gotten really big and, you know, and so I have to be better too, but we as leaders also have to find ways to, you know, to find training or find, you know, peer groups or whatever to make yourself better on behalf of your employees. Matt's relying on you to be better. You're relying on Matt to be better. So is there something that you are doing for yourself to just help, you know, with ongoing training to help lift your lid, as John Maxwell says? Like, you have anything like that in place?
Yeah, I mean, not specifically yet, but it's in the cards. I mean, it's a big focus, right? So what I'm doing, and I kind of mentioned earlier, is I have turned off social media for the most part. I mean, I post every now and again just for family and for whatever, but, you know, every now and again, but I'm not on the reels and looking through social media every day and don't care. TV's turned off. Don't care. You know, besides NHL playoffs right now, there's no TV that I want to watch. There's nothing worth my time. Podcasts, right? I mean, believe it or not, to the point, I mean, is it's on my favorites. It's in my car. It's on all the time. And I really like certain episodes that I continually go back to, you know, and listen to. But for me, I think, and for Matt, I think another thing in 2023 is it solidified. You just said it. It solidified Matt and I. I mean, we went through some stuff together and we came out the other side stronger. More clarity than what we had before. Because face, when I got in, I'm like, I got ops control. He's like, you get 100% control. I'm going to Rhino X and hang out with the boys. You go have fun. I'll be here. You know, you just work. And it worked out. But now it's like, okay, we're big. Like, we need all hands on deck. And it really solidified our roles. And our vision is in the same line, which is really comforting. But both of us, I think, it's really going to come down to coming and visiting a lot of places. You know, I used to work in New York at a place called Isaac Heating and Air Conditioning. They're a small little company. You know,
right. Not Ray. That big.
Yeah, Ray. Yeah, Ray was the service manager when I started there.
Oh, wow.
My dad retired from that company. So Dominic DeLeo is a guy out there who kind of runs the residential side. Him and I talk, you know, monthly, and I'll be going back there this summer to go spend some time with him and his team. You know, Rusty, you know, like I said, we're friends. And just, you know, in Scottsdale as well, you know, you got the Parker and Sons out there, you got a Habaikas. I mean, I'm friends with a lot of those people, and just getting in and just picking their brains. That my focus for this year is to go visit at least six, you know, $50 million contractors and above. And just, so anybody that you suggest, Chris, I'm in. I just want to get on a plane and spend some time.
This guy down here actually might fit into that.
All right, Dad, I'm coming.
All right, you're more than welcome anytime. One question I want to ask is kind of goes back to what you just said there about, you know, kind of your and Matt's vision is aligned now and all of that. Take me through kind of how that's kind of transpired, because I'm sure there's listeners out there that, you know, have a business partner, you know, myself and my brother work together. So like, how has that kind of materialized, and what would you say was kind of some of the important things that maybe you did, whether it was a, you know, offsite or, hey, we just, we sat down in a room and hashed it out as far as where we're going and where we're taking this. Like, take me through that a little bit, because I think that could help some people that may be struggling with that, where you got maybe two people that are at kind of the helm and one wants to go left and the other one wants to go right. And that never works.
Yeah. We're just wired different, right? I mean, that's the other thing. So, I mean, if people who know us, I mean, I am, you know, that Energizer Bunny positivity, let's go, let's go, let's go. And Matt's more methodical. He thinks things through. He's very numbers, data driven. I'm the emotion and he's the data. And so, you know, what really I think helped us was, is, you know, there's always been this level of trust, right? Where there's always been that trust, like, do I trust you? You do whatever it is we need to do in that area. And same vice versa with him. And I think 2023, I think the last 12 months has really been, you know, where we're sitting down and we're going through the P&Ls together and we're learning that together. We're asking questions like, hey, you know, we're having conversations with things that we never had before. And we're comfortable. I was not comfortable in the beginning, but right now I could call him right now and be like, look, I got a question about this. You know, what did we do over here and why did we do it? Right. It versus me having these thoughts. So I guess my advice to partnerships and, you know, all of that is, be honest. And we do it offsite quite a bit, you know, not on trips or anything, but either at my house, my backyard, or his front yard, or whatever have you. We spend a lot of time together and just hanging out. And it's those times where, you know, I've gotten to the point where I'll just bring something up and like, hey, I need to understand this. Like, and I'm going to make sure we're on the same page, and tell me about this. And he will. And he doesn't hold back. He's not somebody who sugarcoats things. The data is the data. And at first, you know, that's tough, right? Cause I'm not this wired the same, but what ultimately it does is it allows us now to have these in-depth conversations to where I'm not going off and thinking, you know, of a different narrative, or I'm not coming to my own conclusions. Just ask the freaking question, right? And then get the answer, and then you're done. You can move on. You're not wasting energy on that. And now we can start to think about, okay, what do we really want? And that's a great question you brought up, because, you know, that's something where right now it's, we want to run a solid, you know, a world-class business at 20 million, like a world-class, like serves customers better than any other heating and air conditioning contractor can serve the customers, right? The quality of our stuff, I mean, high-end stuff, we're doing all communicating equipment, all variable modulating equipment. I mean, this is tough. It's reading their static pressures. I mean, we're doing, we're literally doing static pressure on every install, gas pressure. I mean, we're measuring CFMs at registers. I mean, we're dialing these things in. And so, you know, because a customer is going to get what they're paying for at the end of the day, and other people have a different approach. And I think the biggest thing that Matt and I had to work through was, what's the right business model, right? We see, you know, Ghettoize Nation, right? Ken is probably one of the smartest men in the business. And I've had breakfast with Ken many a times, and I love the man. And his model is completely different than ours, right? I mean, his is single stage, maybe a two stage, and change the ductwork and move on, right? Boom, boom, done. He's not getting into communication and all of this stuff because there's a challenge with that, right? I mean, it creates callbacks. You can't scale that. Like, he's got a licensed nation, so he's got to scale. So we've even questioned that and walked through it. What do we want, right? And we want that. I mean, I want a $28,000 average ticket. I want a $12,000 RPL. I want to be the best in class. So, you know, and that's what Matt wants. So we were able to come up with that where, look, we're never going to have 1% market share in Northern California, ever. It's just not going to happen. There's too many people. I mean, we could be $100 million business and we're still not going to have 1% market share in the area that we serve, right? I mean, we serve a huge area with our two locations. So at that point, let's be the Disney, right, of HVAC, or the Ritz-Carlton of HVAC. Like, not everybody wants to spend $1,000 a night on a hotel room. They'd rather spend $150 at the Garden Inn. So be it. But the people that want to spend $1,000 a night expect a level of service and expertise and nurturing and support. Let's be that to them and go after that, and let our competitors, quite frankly, have the low, you know, the bottom feeders, if you will. You know, they want an $8,000 system. Cool. Let them tie their labor up on the $8,000 system, and let's tie our labor up on a $30,000 changeout.
Yeah, this is what you're talking about kind of early on, is that you guys aren't, you know, you are high quality, like high quality, high value. And you're just saying, hey, listen, like we really want to actually, we're not just going to say it. We're not just going to charge it. We need to be it, you know, and we need to really deliver that kind of value to the customer. I want to take a step back for just a second, you know, because I was making a couple notes as you're talking about you and Matt kind of having conversations back and forth. And you know, it's interesting for me and my business, because really it was my wife and I, you know, that she's the COO, I was CEO of the business, and our strengths complement one another. I was sales and marketing, she's, you know, operations, finance, things like that. And we had to get to, you know, there's another layer to that one that you and Matt don't have, since I don't think you're in a relationship. I think you guys' wives would disagree with that. A different kind of relationship. I mean, it's California. I'm just kidding. So, but here's what I'm getting at with it is, you know, we had to determine when we disagreed, and we disagreed frequently, that there's a 1A and a 1B of whatever situation it was. So if it was sales, if it was marketing, I was the 1A in those situations. Now she is the 1B, can give her opinion and kind of give her reasoning and things like that. But ultimately at the end of the day, the 1A makes the decision. It was vice versa when it was finance or, you know, or operations or whatever. Right. So, you know, and we respected that. To this day, we still do the same thing. Now we have others. We have more on our executive team as well, which kind of allows us to have a little bit of a voting power on different things, you know, but in the situation with you and you know, and Matt and anybody who's listening now who has someone else who's, you know, like you probably have somebody else like this, in your business, is this is a really good thing that you could roll out to help, you know, make the tension less, but also to be aligned. As long as you get the vision, you should be able to create, you know what your strengths are, what you're, you know, driving to it, and somebody should own those. But when you guys have a disagreement, and you certainly have had to have a disagreement, then you got to figure out how to work through that shit and it be okay, right? Because some people don't know how to handle conflict very well, you know, right. And that's a skill you have to learn. So assuming, you know, you and Matt had some, you know, conflict in these conversations, you know, probably like, you know, Chad, I'm sure you and Tyler have had conflict in different situations. Now, you know, we all kind of go through something like this, but how did you handle that to get back out of it? Like, is that something you guys had to work on when you had a disagreement? Did you never have any disagreements? Has it always kind of been even keel? Like, how did that play out?
You know, it's interesting. It's a different dynamic. I mean, and again, it was from day one when I walked in, he literally said, "You're running it. Like, it's yours." Like, and he left. And he left. Like, and he's like, if I'm here, I'm going to influence decisions. I'm going to question things. I don't want to do that. I trust you. Like, we met at a wedding. Okay. we went to a bachelor party together. Okay. Like,
this all makes sense now.
Yeah. And he knew me from associations in the business. Right. But I mean, I show up, he picks me up at the airport. We get to the office, says, "Hey, this is where you're sitting." And he's like, "Wow, like, do it. Are you kidding? Like, holy crap." Like, okay. But in hindsight, but yes, to answer your question. So in the beginning, and it was June. So it was summertime, right? So, it's you're at the helm, do whatever you got to do, make it happen. And so I did that for the first year, but then, yeah, we've had disagreements. And I think one way, he thinks another. And the biggest thing was really just the define, like you talked about, we call it a sandbox, right? I mean, this is my sandbox, this is his sandbox. So even when another employee or team member says, "Hey, they asked me a question," I'm like, "Dude, that's not my sandbox. Like, you're asking the wrong guy. Like, ask Matt that question," right? And if they ask him, be like, "That's not my sandbox. Ask Michael." And we have clear lines of delineation on that. But when we still have opinions on it, right? So be like, "Hey, you made this decision. Why did you make that decision, dude? Like, I completely disagree with that decision. Why are you doing that?" And those conversations allow us to really dive into more of the vision and more of how we're wired. Like, playing chess versus checkers, if you will. Like, I'll make some decisions today that I know aren't 100% perfect, and I know that he's not going to agree with them, but there's a reason for it. And if I go three steps further on the chessboard, it's because of this lever I'm trying to pull. And by doing this today, it will pull that lever. And when we have that conversation, he gets it and I get it. And he's like, "Well, we'll see what happens in the beginning." Now he totally gets it. Right. And same thing when he makes a decision, right? Like, whether, you know, if he spends money on something, he went and bought four Teslas the other day, right? Like just four Teslas. Like, oh, we got to go pick up Teslas. I'm like, when did we buy Teslas, right? And why did we buy Teslas? Well, our gas bill is astronomical, so we're going to buy Teslas. Like, cool. Walk me through that. Explain that. And boom, 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 boom. But when there is conflict, the biggest thing for us is we go over the night, right? We'll typically go for a certain period of time. Like, hey, let me chew on that. It's a, you know, I'm not in alignment right now. I'm not totally feeling this, but let me chew on this. Let me think about it. Tomorrow, let's meet up at 10 o'clock. Let's have breakfast, or meet me at the office at 10 and let's go through this. And we give ourselves time. And then we just have the conversation. And from there, it's just being upfront and honest. Like, dude, I don't think that was the right decision at all. Like, why are we doing this? And once you hear why, nobody's doing it because they're trying to hurt the other person or right. hurt the organization, right? But typically just by shutting your mouth and opening your ears, you understand their perspective. And you're like, okay, I get that. Like if I was looking at it through your point of view or through that perspective, I would have probably made the same decision, but I didn't have that same perspective. So time is the biggest thing. And then just being open and honest about it. And then ultimately having that 1A, right? I mean, if this is in your sandbox, I trust you to make that decision. It's your decision and go with it. You know, get behind it and go with it. Don't question it or don't, especially in front of the team, right? If the decision's been made by Matt or by me and the other person is not 100% in, the last thing either one of us can do is question that decision in front of anybody else. Like, we're all in. Like, that's the decision we made as a group. Let's go. So...
Yeah, I think that's, you know, I mean, I could not agree with you more. That's how me and my brother have always done it too. It's, hey, you've got your, as you call it, sandbox. I've got mine. I trust you to make decisions. And I think that's the biggest thing with any kind of partnership is being able to trust the other person and be okay with, yeah, I may not agree with that, but I'm gonna try like hell to make it work until it doesn't. And then, you know, then we'll reconvene and we'll figure out something else. We're never going to make all the right decisions.
Yeah. And sometimes let's face it. I mean, none of us even know what, I mean, I'm in new charter territory. I don't even know what the right decision is. We make a freaking decision.
That's right.
Yep. Right? I mean, the indecision is the worst decision. Absolutely. So just make a decision and go and then drive that decision hard. And like you said, Chad, at that point, if it's the wrong decision, we'll figure it out pretty quick and we can adjust. And we can regroup and we can hit the ground running again. But just don't sit there stagnant, because that's what gives you the ability, or all of us the ability, to maneuver so fast. When you have 100 million or a 200 million or a $1 billion organization, right, it's so hard for them to transition and move because they got to get through legal. They got to go through HR. Right? I mean, I can walk in the office tomorrow, have an epiphany and be like, we're changing this. We're doing this today. 10 minutes later, we're doing it different. Right. We're nimble. We can move with the market. We can move with things. And that's the biggest thing. Make a decision and roll.
Yeah. I like that. I like the make a decision and move fast type stuff too. And I think I get caught up. We all get caught up in it sometimes when the business is growing, that you should have made a decision much quicker on a thing or a person potentially. And one thing I want our listeners to hear too, and then I've got one last question for you, because we're already getting close to an hour into this sucker. But, you know, one thing that's really important in, like, you know, these guys are talking about having their own sandboxes is, and hear me, like, listen closely to this, especially if you're a smaller business or you have problem with conflict whatsoever. If you let the 1A or you let whomever is, you know, whose sandbox it is, make that decision and it doesn't work out, don't you dare bust their balls about it too much. Like, you can't. You know, if you guys have like a joking, you know, personality and you can joke around about it, that's fine. But what you can't do is, you know, you give them shit for making a bad decision. Like, cause it's going to come, like, listen, when we make a decision and it doesn't work out the way it's supposed to, it already sucks. Like you said, like, it's not like you tried to make the wrong decision on purpose. You're trying to make the decision you thought was best. But if Anna came to me and was like, I told you not to fucking do that, or I told you this was the shitty opportunity, you shouldn't have done it like that, that's not going to do either one of us any good. But what that does, you know, having that kind of trust in one another and that like respect for one another, and that's where like our 1A, 1B is, now we know, we've acknowledged it, and now we're moving on trying to fix the problem together. We all go through this. Like, we all have made decisions that have not worked out. Now, once it's done and moved on, you know, and you are on the other side of it, Yeah, then you can bust each other's chops a little bit. You can bust each other's chops a little bit then. But in the moment, don't do that. So if you're hearing me right now, like you, if you had somebody who made a decision and it didn't pan out and you knew better, you know, but don't bust their balls. It's not going to do you any good.
Right.
Last question I want to ask you too, just because we kind of, you know, bouncing a little bit around, but you know, what I want our listeners to hear is, you know, and you've said this multiple times, and I thank you for saying it and being, you know, and being transparent about it is, you know, you don't know, you're running a size business you've never run before. So as the COO of a $20 million HVAC company in Northern California, incredibly competitive market, with some monster players in these markets too. What does your day-to-day look like as COO of that $20 million company? Like, what is your day-to-day? Or even if you say, hey, maybe it's not so much day-to-day as it is, like, this is what I'm looking at every single week.
I mean, yeah. So I get up 4:45 in the morning, get my emails and coffee done by 5. I get in the gym by 5. I'm done by 6. I'm to the office typically around 7-ish, depends on what office I'm going to. And then I look at there's a couple numbers I look at every single day, right? I want to look at yesterday's sales numbers, both in service as well as in sales and the replacement division. I want to look at the GP report from the day before. So I'm looking at gross profits from jobs that were performed the day prior every single morning. If I see something that's out of line, is it a service Titan thing? Do we have pricing in there properly or what? Or I'll ask the install manager or somebody else, like we'll dive deeper into that to actually clarify why is the margin where it's at on this job. I look at overtime and double time hours every morning, from the day prior, you know, what's labor look like for yesterday and what were the jobs? An upflow, a downflow, a horizontal is all spec'd for X amount of hours. You know, did we go over grossly and why? Then another conversation. I'm very tight with a few people that are my right hand people. We talk. So by 10 in the morning, I have a good feelings on the pulse. Emails are caught up. Numbers. I know exactly what the heartbeat was yesterday of the business, and then I can start to lay out. At 10 o'clock with, you know, Greg or with John or with Tim or with, Zach or any of those guys, I can start to lay out, or Heather, what's the plan, right? We have, 17 days left in the month. This is what we're pacing. This is where we are. You know, this is what we have on our TBD board, but we're waiting on permits. It's sold. It's not booked. You know, this is what we have for repairs. You know, how are we going to, this is the margin that we're missing. How are we going to do that? Right. And then we'll come up with a plan. I think the biggest thing for the first, all the way up until probably noon, is really spinning plates and numbers, like, and making sure everybody knows, like, hey, we're paying attention, right? If you're paying attention to those levers every single day, like the results are going to be there, like they're going to be there. And then in the afternoon, I mean, it's more, you know, the whatever fires came up, whatever have you throughout the day, whatever, you know, the other managers have on their plate. But I like to do, you know, meetings or trainings typically in the afternoon. So, you know, maybe a CSR training or maybe, you know, just something where I'm working with an employee on a certain thing. And then it's for me, dude, I'm running around like mass. I'm working, you know, I do all the marketing, right, with Rhino, right? I mean, your guys' assistants, but everything through Service Titan. I do all of the price book. I do, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So it's really, that's where it's just kind of whatever has to have my attention gets in the afternoon. In the morning, it really is, where were we yesterday? Where are we right now? Where are we going? How the hell are we going to get there? And what do we need? Like, and then if we need it, how much energy and how much effort are we putting into it? Like, here's the thing, and I'll leave with this. It's just a great example. And I might have heard it on your podcast, but it stuck with me. And it was, you know, somebody talked about, I think it was Abrams or somebody was talking about labor. It's number one shortage in our industry. Everybody says it. Every person in our industry is like, oh, we need more labor, more skilled labor. And so we can't ever find anybody. And the gentleman had asked, like, okay, well, how much time did you invest yesterday on solving that problem, on recruiting and finding people? And the manager's like, well, what do you mean? Like, well, how much time? If it's the biggest problem in your business, how much actual time did you dedicate to solving that problem, right? And we started asking ourselves that same question because labor is everybody's problem, right? But how much time did we put in yesterday into recruiting lead installers or second men or service technicians or whatever have you? I mean, if it's 15 minutes on Indeed, what kind of results are you expecting, right? So it's when we have a problem, identifying it, what are we doing to solve it? How much time are we putting towards it? And that will tend to yield, you know, come to the solution. So for me this year, it's different than it was last year, Chris. It's all different. Like it's numbers, it's data, it's fingers on the pulse. And if I just, I notice if I just have these conversations and I know these numbers, like the back of my hand, the results are there. I mean, it's when I just kind of left it to chance. You get to the end of the month, you get to the 11th and you get your P&O and you're like, well, shit, what the fuck happened? That's a bad play. That's a lead. That's a lag measure. That's a bad thing, right? I mean, I've got to look out the windshield and the lead measures and keep my fingers on that pulse. So that's where most of my day is. And then keeping up with Matt, of course, right? I mean, because he could have an idea and the whole afternoon is pretty much dedicated to him. Like, all right, what are we doing, dude? Like, let's figure it out. And that's how it works.
I'll bet you some of that shit you just learned over these last few years, huh? Like, I just saw a whole other side of you open up, man.
Oh yeah. Big time.
Well, it's been fun to watch, and certainly we're grateful, you know, at Rhino to have our partnership with you. And I'm grateful for our friendship, you know, both with you and Matt, you know, and you know that. Yeah. You know, and getting to know you guys over the years, and it's always good to see and hang out with you. But it's equally as fun to kind of watch your journey and see what you guys are, you know, are doing up there. And I've competed in that market a long time, you know, with some of those big competitors of yours, and I know how difficult it is. And you know, and it's, so I enjoy it, man. Like it's cool to have you on here, you know, as your friend and as a, you know, a partner, and to hear you tell your story and, you know, talk about your growth and the things that you're doing today. And because guaranteed, you know, like people listening to the podcast are in the same boat you were in just a little bit ago, learning the same shit. You know, yeah. So, you know, one thing you should probably do, I know we're kind of joking about it a little bit, but, you know, if you're going to go out east anyhow, you're going to go to Rochester, if you dare, go in wintertime. But you got to stop by, you know, Chad's facility, check out Peterbin Top Tech too. It's you know, they're incubating, you know, their own labor, which is pretty cool. So when you go there, you'll be able to double dip a little bit.
Yeah. Where is that at?
We're in Indy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Great.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I could probably get a layover there for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're just, it's the crossroads of America, Mike. Okay. It's crossroads of America.
Yeah. You're right. It's the heartland.
It's the heartland, baby. It's the heartland. All right. Hey, listen, guys. Mike, I appreciate you finally getting your ass on this thing, you know, and, you know, see what I mean? Like, it actually, like, I will say this often, anytime time flies by, you know, it's always a good conversation because there's definitely plenty of podcasts I've been on too where I'm like, my goodness, it's only been 20 minutes. My goodness, it's been 30 minutes. But this is always fun when I have buddies on here too. And sometimes when I'm talking to Chad, I'm like, God, it's only been 20 minutes. I'm kidding.
I know, right?
Chad, I'm kidding. Don't start crying. Jeez. But Mike, I appreciate you, man. You guys keep kicking ass up there, you know, and I'm excited for you guys too. And when you guys finally bring on plumbing, let me know.
Okay, will do.
But you're doing a bit great. You know, please actually let me know because I know I need to have a heads up on that from the marketing side of things.
I'll let Kristen know.
Just be prepared that drain cleaning is going to be a pain in the ass. So, but I appreciate, you know, you come on and being open, you know, and then that's one thing you and I were talking about is just kind of, you know, that being vulnerable and, you know, is an absolute superpower when you use it in the way you do. And it's you just admit the things you don't know so that way you can learn them faster and you move on. Plus, I think that lends to extra credibility, right? Like people, it allows people around you to also know, like, they don't have to have all the answers. Like when you and Matt first met, you come in, you're trying to prove something. If you didn't know something, you saying I don't know something's pretty fucking hard. Like it's kind of difficult to say that to somebody until you get to the comfortable spot of knowing, like, actually it's better because you can work through shit faster. Like you just put it out there. We're not beating around the bush. We didn't waste all this time and you work through it together. But that's where having the respect of that partner matters, or respect of your leader matters, right? If you can trust, you know, that you don't have to know everything and that they're going to help you grow because you guys want to all grow together. So I commend you, brother.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me. It was awesome.
You had a good time?
I did. Next one we're doing in your office though, in Scottsdale.
Deal. Come on down. You ain't gotta tell me twice. And then Chad will come out too, because he wants to come out and play some more golf with me. Isn't that right, Chad? Isn't that what you want to do?
That's right. As long as it's not summer. I know.
Hey,
I'm heading up to Wisconsin on Tuesday to go play Whistling Straits in Erin Hills. Nice. So I'm pretty pumped.
That's awesome.
Well, listen, their summer rates down here in Arizona are pretty damn good. Okay.
I have my Arizona license just for that reason. So I get the, the well, rest of receipts.
There you go.
That's right. Business expense. Gentlemen, I appreciate you both. Mike, you know, again, congratulations on the, you know, back-to-back Dave Linux Award, you know, Diggs Linux Award, you know, top 25, you know, Linux dealers in the United States of America. It's a pretty fucking big deal. So congratulations to you guys, you know, in a hell of a market, you know, with a crazy year. So, you know, appreciate you guys. To our listeners, you know, it's cool to hear a story like Mike's, you know, because you can probably relate quite a bit to it. And, you know, and again, you know, if you take a few things away from this too, is, you know, if you have somebody that you're working with, that's also a leadership, you know, find your sandbox that you're best, you know, that's best for you, or your 1A or you 1B, and be open, you know, be open with what you do know and don't know. And you'll be able to work through shit a hell of a lot faster and scale these businesses. And the last thing I'll say is, you know, you hear Mike talk about how running a $20 million business is a you know, size business he's never run before. Well, guess what? That's probably a lot of you too. Like, how many businesses have you run before? If you haven't run any, well, fuck, whatever size you are is a size business you've ever run. It's going to continue to grow if you're doing it right. But I promise you, make a decision. Just make decisions and do things that you think are the best, and then learn from them and move forward. But don't make, you know, don't be indecisive or make no decision, because that certainly is not going to get you anywhere. So a few easy little good tactics that we can, you know, that's easy to forget sometimes when you're running a business, but those are really great sage pieces of advice. So Chad, you have anything else to add to this thing, or you want me to just call it out? Just go ahead and get us out of here.
Go ahead and just close us out.
Thanks for your permission. Thanks for your permission, 22 Savage, also known as Pastor Chad. We appreciate you. Mike, my brother, we'll see you, dude. Chad, we'll see you. And to our listeners, you got to do everything, but you got to do something. No 0 days. Listeners, thank you so much again for listening to this podcast week after week. We are extremely grateful. Again, the whole purpose of this podcast is to give back to the home services industry that we love so much, whether you're a rhino or not. We really, really appreciate all the subscribers. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please go in and subscribe, and you'll get all the episodes sent to you automatically weekly. Also, we have really enjoyed your feedback. It's so meaningful for us when we get to read the nice comments that you guys put. So keep doing that. And if you don't know how to do it, here's what you got to do. You search for To The Point Home Services on Apple Podcasts. You click on our profile, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and hit write a review. And be honest and share your story and how the podcast has impacted you and your business. Thanks again from the bottom of our hearts at To The Point Home Services Podcast. We appreciate you. Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show. So stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.